Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to be finishing up talking specifically about the scripture references and get into some of the final points and the concluding thoughts I want to make, practically talking about tithing and some of the things I want to have as takeaways to this discussion. Again, what we've been doing is talking about where the concept of tithing came from, how it's relayed throughout the scriptures, and through that, concluding that tithing, when we say something is scriptural, we have a tendency to think of, okay, if it's scriptural, that means it applies to us, when that's not the case at all. That, for instance, in this case, tithing is scriptural, it's in the scriptures. But that doesn't mean that it applies to us, because in fact it doesn't. Tithing was to be done by the Jews during different parts of their history, and it changed throughout their history, and it was part of fulfilling the law. It was like number 242 of the list of things that they needed to do in order to be the people of God. And God went through many times. Most of the references in the Old Testament regarding tithing are critical of the priesthood, that the priests abused the people through the tithe and did not teach the people how to have a relationship with God. So when it comes right down to it, even in the Old Testament, the reason we have so many references is not a good reason. It's bad. God was critical of his priesthood, again, for abusing the people and misrepresenting his heart. Then in the New Testament, which began at the resurrection, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have a tendency to think those are New Testament, but really that's the precursor to the New Testament. The New Testament, the new relationship, the being born again does not start until salvation is available to us at the resurrection. So from there on, really our big example of how to approach the concept of tithing really becomes the concept of giving. And when we see that our new identity is as a spirit being, our new character is to give. We are now a giving being, a new creature that expresses love through giving. Not just finances, but because we have received and because we are joint heirs with Christ and co-inheritors of everything that he has inherited, we can be generous. We can give unconditionally. Now, does that mean we give without thinking? Absolutely not. Does that mean we think we give without holding accountable, and we just give without doing research? Absolutely not. The bottom line is we start with it, reminding ourselves that everything we do brings us back to asking God. God, what do you want to do here? What is your purpose here? And in a lot of cases, it'll be, this is what I want to do. Lord, is that the right thing to do? And we've talked before about how so many times we give or tithe in our church and we don't even know what we support. And a lot of times we'll do some digging and find out that we really don't like the way what we've been tithing or giving to our church, the way it's being spent, or we're supporting something we really don't believe in. And so those areas, we want to be wise and be maturing into the sons of God that we are. We're not maturing in our spirits. Our spirits are done, but our soul and our body has to line up. And that's the process. And when we relegate the finances and the tithing and the giving to, okay, it's 10% to the church, check, that's done, then we have said, God, I don't need to ask you about this. So we've gone through the scriptures in the New Testament. Let's just finish up. We spoke last week about Philippians. We have one last Pauline reference, and that's in Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And here we're going to be talking a little bit about taxes and what the purpose of the tithe was in the Old Testament versus taxes for you and I. So again, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now, when we talk about rendering unto governing authorities, that they represent God, and that by resisting the government, we resist God. We remember that in other places we are to pray for righteousness in government. And there's an assumption here that we start with that our government, even though it has flawed people in it, God is working to bring righteousness to the government. And we won't get too far afield in that, but there's that assumption that even if government is not behaving righteously, we can't take the law into our own hands. That does not give us an excuse to behave unrighteously. We look for the righteous way to address whatever our grievance is. Now, when it comes to the tax situation, one of the things when people reject the way the government is proceeding, they refuse to pay taxes. And that's not the way to address these things. Instead, it's to find a way to have a righteous challenge to the government. We do things the right way, according to law, because again, this is not, when we're talking about the government, we're in, to some degree, talking about the strongholds that are in any land, in any situation, but also what's going on in the natural. And so we have to understand that there are things going on in both areas, but that it's not a spiritual challenge. And this is one of the things that Christians have a real hard time grasping, is because we use spirit for everything, when really the whole concept of spirit only applies to God and regenerated humans, you and I, those who have been born again. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So we don't want to elevate, for instance, angels and demons. They are not spirits. They're supernatural beings. They must abide by the laws in the supernatural realm, and yet they also have authority over the natural realm. Now, fortunately, they are totally subject to the authority of the spirit realm. Again, who's in the spirit realm? God in us. This is what gives us the authority over all supernatural beings. Now, we may not be able to exercise certain authorities at all times because we still have areas in ourselves where we are subject to a legalism or a wound, or where we don't have the spirit flowing in that area of our soul. So as we try to exercise that spirit, there's a blockage there because we are relying on the strength of our soul, or we have we are believing a lie, various interferences there. And we don't want to get too far afield. We have many long discussions about this elsewhere. But that's the challenge we have, is to remember that there's a tremendous difference between supernatural and spirit. And when we talk about how we deal with our government, we want to remember that we are constantly looking to see what God wants us to be doing. If you are knowing Him, if you are in the process, if your focus is on to know Him, He will have you ready for what tomorrow brings. He will be teaching you what you need to know, and you don't even need to know that you're learning it. In your spirit, you are already aware of what you're going to need to know tomorrow and what you're going to need to be able to do tomorrow. It's your spirit, in cooperation with God's spirit, that is working within your soul to bring you into alignment. You don't need to understand in your soul. In fact, very often God hides it from us, so we won't interfere with it. But if you are focusing on knowing God, learning how to test what you hear, learning how to exercise the power and the authority and the spirit within you, learning how to live as a spirit being in this world, if you are walking with Him and enjoying His presence and receiving from Him and giving out, these things all become just a normal part of your life, your being here on this earth. And he will have you ready for whatever tomorrow brings. And this brings us back to the whole idea of taxes. We're going to be real practical from here, talking about the tithing being, the tithing applying to the Old Testament, and taxes, how they work in the New Testament. In Romans, Paul was speaking specifically about governmental authorities. And he directed that taxes be paid to the state. In other words, just because we're Christians, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying taxes. In the situation Paul was in, historically speaking, Rome had replaced the theocracy in the governing of the state of Israel. Though the law of Moses was respected as tradition by the Romans, and the Israelites were allowed to still follow the commandments and do their religious duty, go to the temple, observe the ceremonial holidays, and mark their calendars according to their own history, Israel was yet no longer a theocracy. They were ruled by Rome. They were no longer ruled by God. And so they definitely had those limitations on the way God could be their God. They had to recognize, and this was the big conflict, was who was their God. Because again, in Rome, Caesar was God. And yet for the Israelites, God was God. So this was their basic challenge. Now, for our purposes, what we're talking about here with the tithing, in the Old Testament, the tithe, the purpose of the tithe was to take care of a lot of the civil duty, to take care of the people who could not take care of themselves, the stranger, the widow, the poor, the sick, as likewise to pay for the infrastructure of the whole society, not just their government, but the law instituted a way of enforcing a history and a sense of community and identity. And this was really crucial for Israel as they went through exile, and they came through an exodus, and they were dispersed, and then they were brought back together, and then they were split, and then they had multiple kings, and some kings were good and some were bad, and some priests were good and some were bad. But through all this, the purpose was to maintain a relationship with God that God had mandated. Then the purpose of the tithing was to pay for that, basically. In the New Testament, under Roman rule, which is basically what we're talking about historically speaking, that the New Testament was written according or under, the purpose of the taxes then likewise was to pay for the civil community needs. Things like the same types of things. Taking care of the poor, taking care of the needy, the infrastructure, the priesthood, the temple, and then, but in this case it was more for the church. For the widows, for the poor, for those who could not take care of themselves, for the stranger, and for no longer the needs of the priesthood and the temple, but now for the ministers and the local churches. So the taxes that were collected, Paul is encouraging you pay your taxes to the civil authorities, the government, because they're going to have your police force. They're going to build your roads. They're going to take care of making sure you're safe at night. So the duties that were once done according to tithing in the Old Testament, well, the Old Covenant, are now done through giving for the church aspect, but the taxes take care of the civil responsibilities. So there's almost a divide now. In the Old Covenant, there was the tithes took care of everything, both the civic duties, the civil requirements, and taking care of the ministry. And in the New Testament, it's a divided thing. There's the giving now takes care of the church needs and the ministry needs, and taxes take over and take care of the practical civic community needs. So when you start looking at it, even Jesus' example of who do we pay our taxes? And he said, give me a coin, and whose face is on this? It's Caesar's. Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's. So there was a clear distinction. He didn't have any problem with pay your taxes, because Caesar is going to do what he's promised to do. He's going to protect the land. He's going to make sure that there's peace. He's going to make sure there was no, there was a legal system in place, that there was a health system in place, that there was a responsibility to take care of basic needs of the citizenry, which obviously included the Jews. And yet he recognized that you give to God and God's people to care for the things of God. So he saw very clearly, he presented very clearly that there were two different ways to approach each thing, and that we are not to combine the two, to not be thinking that because we're paying taxes, we don't need to give to the church, and because we're giving to the church, we don't need to pay the taxes. And most of us really don't have a problem with that. We understand our taxes go to certain things, and that we understand giving to the church is something different. But just wanted to reinforce that it's very clear in the church or in the scriptures that there are two separate things, and that in the Old Testament, those two things used to be taken care of by just the one, the tithing. So this brings us full circle through all the scriptural references. And really, that's what we're really looking at, is when we say, is tithing scriptural? Yes, it is, but it's so scriptural that it tells us who is to tithe, and it does not apply to Christians. So we've looked at, under law, what is the tithing according to grace? Throughout the New Testament, Paul's vocabulary and teaching suggests that giving is first voluntary and that there is no set percentage. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament are believers told to tithe by anyone. Again, the New Testament starts at the resurrection. Scriptures also don't tell how much, in the New Testament, don't say how much to give, when to give, or even to whom to give. We're only encouraged to provide for those who are in need, to provide for ministers and for the stranger, as well as to pay taxes to the civil authorities. Giving in the New Testament is a reflection of our new nature, the nature of God. Our new nature is to give. So even if we don't feel like it, We are now a giving, liberal people. Now, this may be something we need to really concentrate and learn how to do. Again, it's much easier to just assume that we write a check for 10% and we're done with it. But this is not God's plan for you and I, because it is so important to him. It's a reflection and an aspect. It's how he shows love as he gives. And so for you and I, there's going to be a circumspection. God's going to keep an eye on things, and your spirit's going to keep an eye on what's going on in this area. How do you give? To whom? When? Huh? Do you ask God first? Do you test what you hear? So all that being said, that's what the scriptures say about tithing and giving. Where do we go from here? Where are we? Hopefully, we are now able to distinguish between the institution of tithing as commanded in the law of Moses and the act of giving encouraged under grace. We're going to look through some of the main points we need to take before God and ask him to make them real to us. And remember, this may not be what God wants to talk to you about right now. He might not have anything to say. And yet 6 months from now, he may go, okay, now go back. I want to talk to you about tithing and giving. So even if this is not something he wants to talk to you about now, you have it available. You've got that seed. And you know that when he wants to water it, it's there. It's ready for him to bring fruit from. So let's start looking with our concept of under law. Under the law, relationship with God is defined by how well you fulfill his commandments. Anyone can attempt to do this. You don't have to know God to tithe. This is always a great test to know whether it's something that's Christian or spiritual. Can a non-Christian do it? And you and I both know anybody can tithe. But only a Christian can give truly according to God's heart. Because only a spirit being, a regenerated spirit, can go to God and say, what do you want to do here? And hear him clearly and test it. So again, that's part of our character. It's not a part. Now, that doesn't mean to say that people who aren't born again aren't giving. Certain temperaments and certain we are trained for it, and there's all different varieties, but this is not part of their true nature. It's a part of their soul. In fact, some of the wealthiest families in America were taught at a young age to give 10% to the poor. And it does work. Giving that 10% is a law. It's like gravity. It just has nothing to do with our spiritual standing with God or with others. Tithing doesn't bring anyone into a closer relationship with God or with others. And it doesn't contribute to a relationship that already exists. As a parallel example, animal sacrifice was also approved of, not mandated by God before the law, then instituted as law under Moses in Exodus and Deuteronomy as part of the conditions that must be fulfilled. But when was the last time you heard any preacher say that animal sacrifice must be done in order to be acceptable to God. So think on that. Think on how we approach these two different aspects from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and how the law, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to even believe in God in order to tithe. So we'll pick it up here next week, the same time. You can always drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.com if you want to get in touch with me, if you've got any questions or comments, or through Blog Talk Radio. Otherwise, we'll get together again next week, same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.